You're listening to STP Radio.
Welcome back to STP Radio. I'm your host, Mike Lyles, and I'm excited to conduct another interview with one of our upcoming speakers at our Spring 2017 STPCon conference. In case you've not signed up yet, STPCon will be in Phoenix, Arizona from March the 14th through the 17th this year. And if you reach out to me, I can share a discount code for your registration. Be sure to check out stpcon.com where you can learn more about the conference, the speakers, our special events, and our conference pricing. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Look for @SoftwareTestPro on both of these social networks. So let's meet our guests for today. Today we have Nancy Kellen. Nancy is a test manager with 16 years of diverse IT experience. She enjoys working with teams that are implementing or enhancing their testing practices and providing adaptive testing approaches to both exploratory and traditional testing teams. She has coached testing teams in various environments and facilitated numerous local and international workshops and presentations. From small scale to multi-million dollar projects, Nancy has played many roles within the testing community, including project test manager, test lead, and tester. She's a co-founder of POST Post. Nancy is an active member of the Calgary Software Quality Discussion Group, the Association for Software Testing, and the Software Test Professionals Organization. Welcome to STP Radio, Nancy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So it's so great to have you with us. Why don't you tell us a little more about yourself and how you got into testing?
Sure. I think my story is fairly common to what other testers have found. I actually started out in IT as a developer and was writing code for oil and gas and automation projects, and found that there was one cycle of development that I really quite enjoyed, and that was the testing cycle. It was a little bit different than what my fellow developers found. They really liked to code, but I really enjoyed just getting in and testing and seeing how the system was going to work and if it worked the way that we would expect it to. So that's how I branched off from development to testing, was just really passionate and interested about it and just wanting to learn more and more about that aspect, and left the development side behind and fell right into testing with both feet.
Well, I did the same thing. I remember in sixth grade, I got my certification on an Apple IIe computer, and I said, I'm going to be a programmer for the rest of my life. And that was so wrong. I realized my passion when I got into testing, and in the organization I was in, they didn't have a testing organization at that time. They sent me to a class. I took a course and got interested in it, and that became my future, and it has been ever since. I think it's You meet those types of people almost everywhere you go.
And yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's common for sure.
So I learned that you're a volunteer with an organization in Canada that helps motorcycle riders that have been hurt while riding. Can you tell us a little bit about this organization and what led you to be a volunteer?
Sure. I started riding motorcycles about 2 years ago. Right now I have a Can-Am Spyder because my balance isn't great, so I don't trust myself on two wheels, so I decided to upgrade to three. And got involved in this organization just from a few rides that we were doing a couple summers ago. They're a great group. They are all about helping people. It's not the typical biker group that you would think when you think of biker gangs. They're all about help and caring and not about the gang side of things. So it's a really cool organization. They raise money, they have rides, they have auction events, and I've been helping them with their IT side of things. So a little bit back in the programming world, developing a website for them and an online store. So it's been really neat to apply the skills that I have to an organization that needs help in a way that not very many people in the group can help.
And I think that's a great thing. You helping others is one of the things I've seen that you thrive on. And speaking of helping others, I know that you have a workshop with us called Implementing Exploratory Testing Concepts in Your Organization. And I remember when you were talking to several testers in the community, you and I talked about this, and you were getting inputs on successes or struggles with implementing exploratory testing. And I know that I had those same struggles myself. A lot of times the organization just sometimes doesn't want to buy into that. And also, even when they do buy in, sometimes it's really tough to change the culture. And I think a lot of organizations face that same problem. Yes. The audience, I believe, is really going to like this, especially if they have the green light to implement it. but they don't really know how to get started. So can you tell us a little bit about what you're going to do with this workshop and what you wish to share with the audience?
Yes. So I'm curious to hear with the participants in the workshop, what it is they're trying to implement and also why. So we're going to delve into that a bit in the workshop. Why do people want to change their testing? Have they been given the green light, or do they see a chance and an opportunity for a positive change but aren't sure how to proceed? Then we're going to look at how do people start? Where should they start? Where is the easier stuff to start to implement based on what they want to do? And where are they going to see some challenges? And what might some of those challenges be when they get to some of the more difficult stuff? Some organizations will embrace a reporting change, but not how they do testing. Where others will more embrace how they do testing, but they want to see the reporting be the same. So how do you find that out, which way your organization is, and then how do you tackle each of those problems depending where your organization fits? They'll also leave the workshop with a plan for implementing whatever their change is. So whether it's the reporting side or the testing side, whether it's a change above them or across the organization in other departments, or even just within their testing team, they'll have a plan in place so that they can go back to their organization and start to make the changes that they were coming to the conference hoping to be able to learn how to make.
That is so interesting, because I think if I asked 10 people out there that really wanted to make a change in their organization, more than likely 8 of 9 of those are going to want to look at doing exploratory testing, but they just don't know how to get started. They don't know how to fully implement it. They get pushed back. And I think this is going to be one of those courses that really helps people understand, what do I need to do? And I've got this one barrier. Everything else, like you said, everything else is in place, but this one barrier is in my way. And how do they get past that? I think this is going to be one of those workshops that they can take it right back to their organization and really make a change immediately.
And a lot of the testers I talked to knew how to personally make the change, how they wanted to do their work differently. It was just, how do I show other people in my organization the value of what I want to do differently? How do I sell them on being able to do that? And how do I calm the fears that people are going to have when they see that I'm starting to change something and make sure people feel okay with the change that as a tester I want to make?
Well, we've talked about things you like. Let's talk about things you don't like. Okay. So one of the things I learned about you is that you hate cooking, despise it, you said. You state that you'd rather be doing anything else but cooking, but you have to do it anyway. And I think this could be the same as some people are reluctant to implement new practices in testing or to change or to a better improvement process. What established this hatred, and would you relate it to the testing world?
For me, and it's funny because people are going to laugh when I say this, for me, cooking was always confusing, because everything, when you're making a meal, like I can bake like no man's business, but cooking was confusing because some things take longer, some things take shorter. And I never realized the differences. I would start everything at once. So I'd start boiling the water for spaghetti and heating the sauce that I poured out of the can at the same time. And by the time I was done, the spaghetti sauce was burned and the pasta was still hard. I didn't realize that you had to start things at different times or what needed to be started in what order. And when somebody finally pointed this out to me when I was struggling in the kitchen one day, they laughed because they said, you know, you can handle a million different things coming at you in the office where this has to start then and that has to start there and this is going to finish and this is what's next and what all the risks are and what all the obstacles are going to be and who's going to play nice and who's going to maybe be a little bit contentious, but you can't figure out how to make spaghetti for dinner. And when I started to relate cooking to software testing and project management and how the project lifestyle goes, I started to realize it's kind of the same thing. I can't boil my water and start my sauce at the same time. I need to boil the water first because it's kind of like the design phase. I need to figure out what I'm doing and what I need to get going ahead of time, and then throw the spaghetti in and start the sauce at that point, because those two things have to start at the same time. So it was neat once I changed the perspective on it and stopped looking at it as cooking and very confusing to, well, I just have to plot this on a Gantt chart in my head and I'll be good to go.
Right. It's so true. And I think it can be related in that way. And I think we have to do that as very technical people. We have to relate everything in life that way. Everything I do, I work from a list. I can't operate without one. And it's funny to hear you say it's a Gantt chart that you use to do your cooking. I'm sure that would make a great book someday, the Gantt chart of cooking. So
yeah, for all the people like my head, work with my head and the way it works.
Absolutely. So there's a session you have, and I feel like I need to yell this and shout this when I call it out, but it's called What the Hell Kind of Testing Is That?
Yes.
I think this great breakout session really complements the workshop you're doing. If someone comes to your workshop and then they say, okay, I know how the practice should work. I know how to get it implemented. But now I've got to take this back to possibly an organization that doesn't understand the difference. They might be stuck in an old way of doing things. They may not even be following some of the old styles of testing that we know that are not exploratory. They may be just doing their own thing that's not even anything that we can relate it to. But I think it surprises me that some organizations don't know what exploratory testing is and are far from even considering it. So to sell the company on implementing it sometimes is near impossible. And so what is your message that you hope that this great named session is going to give to the attendees?
I think a lot of people are going to relate to it. It's really a story session around how I've come to do exploratory testing and context-driven testing in a number of organizations. I think it's 6 or 7 now. And just the questions I've got from people and how I've dealt with some of them. One of the more recent organizations I was in had heard of exploratory testing and had actually a very negative opinion of it because of the way it was done. You could tell that the testing organization they'd brought in was new to exploratory testing. They didn't have a lot of how do we do reporting figured out, how do we talk about coverage to our stakeholders. People were used to seeing test cases but didn't know how to leave that behind and still give the same information. And so this director I was dealing with said, I had no idea what this team was doing. They couldn't show me anything. They told me things were tested, but I had no evidence. All I had were defects. And so he was very resentful to picking up the idea. So it was curious to me because often up until that point, people had never heard of it. So they didn't have an opinion either way. They were just fearful because it was going to be different. Where this fellow had a very strong opinion and was in a very high leadership position that this was actually bad. And that was one of the things that he went around saying was, we can't do this because I've seen it before and it was really badly done testing. So this session talks about that question that I keep getting over and over again each time I try to implement is, what the hell kind of testing are you doing? And how people are fearful of it and how, especially when you want to come in and fully implement and change your entire team, what roadblocks you're going to be up against and how I managed to confront those either head on or prepared myself more and got people kind of molded and worked into feeling okay about it or had people completely say no, but how I still managed to get it in. Some of the tricks were sneaky, but it was well accepted in the end.
I agree. And I think the one thing that I have strangely not heard for a long time, but in talking about exploratory testing to a couple of strangers in different situations the past couple of weeks, when I start talking about exploratory testing, they say to me, oh, you mean monkey testing? And I'm like, no, absolutely not. It's not. Yeah. I mean, I understand what you mean by monkey testing, ad hoc testing and doing that type. But if I need to help you understand, that is not what we're talking about. Exploratory testing is not ad hoc. It's a craft. It's an art. And it's something that you can really be really good in the testing field if you're following it.
Yes. And it's gotten a bad reputation because I think based on the workshop that I'm doing, people have had trouble implementing it. They know what they want to change as a tester, but they don't know how to communicate that out, prepare people, and then give people results that they understand and are comfortable with again.
So I learned that you're working toward your black belt in Taekwondo and you currently have a red belt. Now, how strenuous is this program, and can you relate that to something in software testing?
Physically, it's not as strenuous as you would think. I'm not like the martial artists on TV by any means. For me, it's more around the patterns. That's what I really love about the martial arts is with each belt level, you get a different pattern. And as you progress higher in the levels, they become more and more complicated. So at first you're following very basic moves. You're getting kind of an idea of what a punch looks like, what a kick looks like, what the various stances are. And they're very simple patterns. As you get higher up, you're starting to combine various aspects of it. So you're combining moves, turns, and kicks at the same time. You're combining punches and stances at the same time. So you're taking all the tools that you learned in the very basics, and now you're using them in a more complicated, complex manner. And of course, they get longer too. So at first, you've only got 10 or 12 moves you have to remember. Near the end, you're getting up to about 30 or 40 that you have to remember all in a row. So it's like testing, where if you've got that good foundation, that good toolbox of tricks that you've used in different places, and you remember them and you practice them and you get really good at doing those tricks, when you get to more complicated roles or when you get more experienced as a tester, you can start to combine different things. You can start to take a report from one company you worked at and a report from another company you worked at and take aspects of each of those to create a third type of report that will work in the new organization that you're in. Or a technique that you used in one company for a data backend and a technique that you're using for a UI backend or UI frontend, sorry, and merging those two together to come up with a new way to test. So it's similar in that way, where as you start to get really, really good on your foundations, you can start to see those different combinations and they open up new experiences and new ways to look at things.
And I think that's a great example of, you're not going to get those things out of putting it in a script and having a script that tells you do these 10 things.
Yes.
That is your experience and learning from your experience and letting that help you to say, I remember doing this before and I've built on that. I think that's a wonderful example. And I can see you doing a testing with Taekwondo someday. Down the road.
We'll incorporate board breaking too.
Absolutely. I think people would love to have that as part of a workshop. So I'm sure you've seen the awesome program lineup we've got for this year. And,
yes.
And as you look over the keynotes, the sessions, the workshops, what are some of the things you're seeing that are interesting you the most? And can you tell us what things you hope to take away from a couple of those presentations?
Yeah, the first one that really interested me was Christine Wiedemann's session, or keynote actually, on Future Horizons. Her and I had talked, we're fairly good friends, we know each other. She's right next to me in Vancouver and I'm in Calgary, so we keep in touch quite a bit. And there was one conference where we were just over dinner one night saying, you know, there's so much on the conference circuit that seems to be the same. People seem to be talking about the same topics, which are good. But where's the future going? What are we looking towards? What's coming up? What's the new thing in testing? And we both talked about it back and forth and joked about how, you know, maybe we should start thinking about this seriously and figure it out for ourselves. So when I saw that was her keynote, I chuckled and remember that conversation thinking, good for her. She took that away and she's thought about it over the last little while and she's come up with a list of what she thinks the future will be. And I'm really curious to see what she's been thinking about and where she thinks it's going. Because since that conversation, we haven't touched on that topic again. So I'm very curious to see what she's come up with. And I'm glad, so happy to see that she's put it into a keynote to share with a whole bunch of people. So I'm excited to see that one.
We had her on the radio show just a couple of days ago. And it's really interesting to hear her talk. She you know, pulls you into her discussion and it's just compelling. She's got what I've called in the last interview I did, the trifecta, the speaker trifecta, because she is doing the keynote, she's doing the workshop, and she's doing a session as well. So
yeah, I noticed that she's going to be busy.
She is going to be very busy. And you definitely picked a good one there. I think it's going to be a great program overall, because I've been with STP for many, many years. And it's just, to me, this is one that's going to stand out as better than some of the rest. And it's going to be really exciting to have all of you guys there to do it.
Yeah.
So I have one final question for you, Nancy.
Sure.
You've attended STPCon multiple times in the past. And so what is the one thing you'd like to tell new visitors to the conference about what they can expect and get from the conference?
I think a lot of people come to the conference, and especially new, and I know I did this my first time, you look at the program and you come up with which sessions you want to go to, and you don't really think beyond that. You think about the sessions, you go to those, you do the networking event, but you don't realize an opportunity that's there for you that isn't always advertised and one that you have to be brave to take on your own. And that's getting out and networking with people, finding other testers that are in sessions with you that are doing the same thing as you, or maybe doing something different than you, and just talking about what it is that you're doing and talking about what it is they're doing, because there's so much learning to be had just from the other conference attendees. I'd also encourage new people to the conference to find out who the speakers are, and don't be afraid to approach us and talk to us about either our session or maybe a session you saw us in with you, or even just questions that you have based on if you're doing something in your organization that relates. So if you're working on automation, find out who the speakers are that are talking about automation and go up to them and pick their brains. All of us speakers are really passionate about testing and love talking about it. We talk about it and bore most of our friends to death. So when we have people that are interested in testing and want to talk, we'll talk your ear off and we love to do it. So encouraging people just to get out and network and find their answers if they're not getting them always in the session, to take people aside and spend time doing that one-on-one or even small group talk, because those are so valuable at conferences.
That is some great input. I completely agree. I remember the first time I ever met Michael Bolton, the tester, to anybody that's listening, not the singer. I haven't met the singer. But when I first met Michael Bolton, the first thing I asked him was about measurement and metrics. And he stopped what he was doing at the conference, said, let's go have dinner right now. And he'd never met me before. He spent that time with me. He had that passion to talk about it. And he told me everything I ever wanted to know about measurement, changed my whole perception. And I see people do that at STPCon. As much as anywhere else I've been, I think it's a very great atmosphere. We have two different events. We have the speaker invitation on Wednesday night of the right after the workshop before the first day of the conference. And then we have the social event with the sponsors on Thursday night. So it's two opportunities to meet the speakers, to meet the sponsors, to really network a lot. And I see that a lot where we have done STPCon conferences in the past. And I think it's a growing trend that folks really want to learn from people. And as you said, speakers are so approachable. They're so passionate about what they're doing. We do like to pull in those guys to speak with us. And I think it's going to be a great event to help some people, especially if they're new to the conference, or even if they're coming back. There's always someone new, because what I'm seeing is the speakers that we have this time, many of them are first-time speakers, but have a very long history of testing. They just have never spoken at STPCon before. So we're really excited with our speaker agendas and what we're going to do there.
Yeah, I noticed that today when I was looking through the conference thing to remind myself for our interview. There's some people that I haven't heard of, and they've got a really good list of experience that will make for some interesting sessions and talks.
Yes. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for your time today.
And you're very welcome.
We really look forward to seeing you in Phoenix. It's only a month away, and we hope to see everyone else there as well.
Sounds good. I can't wait to see everyone too.
So, folks, this concludes our next episode of STP Radio. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Stay tuned for more episodes coming soon before the conference. And if you haven't signed up yet for the conference, get out there and register, and we'll see you in Phoenix in March.
Thanks for listening to this episode of STP Radio, and stay tuned for more episodes. Learn more about the conference being held in Phoenix, Arizona, March 14th through 17th by visiting stpcon.com.